Let the church say amen.
Amen.
For God is good.
All the time.
And all the time God is good.
Amen.
And I'm a living witness to that.
Yes. Amen.
As many of you have already heard, I was asking for prayers from
the church. And the prayers that were sent up were answered. I got a good report from the doctor. And I'm just thankful that you all prayed. And with that said, as I always say, God is good and God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And I want to just say to the congregation this morning, it's a beautiful day, and I'm not saying it like Mr. Rogers say, I'm just saying it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, because we're in the right neighborhood, we're in the neighborhood of the Lord, and we ought to be thankful and blessed, and we are blessed. With that said, let us take a moment out and give God some praises. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again. You have given us an opportunity to come out from our house to your house to worship thee in spirit and in truth. I'm so thankful this morning, Father, that I'm here to see this morning, and I know most others are thankful that they're here to see this morning as well. We thank you for food, shelter, and clothing that you gave unto us. We thank you for your love, kindness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you so much for everything you do for us. We pray for those that are leaders in this congregation. We pray for their families. We pray for all families in this congregation. We pray and ask you to continue to bless us now, O Heavenly Father. You sent your son Jesus down to this world to hang, bleed, and die upon yonder's cross. And for that we are eternally grateful. We thank you, O Lord, for giving us unto us the bread of life. We thank you, Lord, for everything and all things and anything that you do for us, O Lord. Because we know that you're going to do things that are good and right for us, O Lord. And we're just so proud and glad to be among those who call themselves Christians. We thank you for the brothers who have taken part in the service thus far. And we pray that they're for their families also. We pray for any and all that might be sick this morning. We pray and ask you to give them a touch of your healing power, O Lord, that they may be able to be with us at the next appointed time. We pray for those who are traveling and on the highways, the byways, and the airways. We just thank you, O Lord, that they may return to us safely and securely. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for giving us this day. For this is a day that we've never seen before and we shall never see again once it's passed. We thank you for yesterday, we thank you for today, and we're praying that you give us tomorrow as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your darling son who came down to this earth. He hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. And I thank you. Now, my Heavenly Father, go with us, watch over, and keep us as we move on into this portion of your services. Forgive us of our shortcomings. And bless us, O Heavenly Father, in the way that you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. From the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting at verse number 19, I'll reread it again. Actually, I'm going to pick up with 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. Our faith is rooted in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. If it were not for God our Father, Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit our Comforter, where would our salvation come from? When it comes to heaven or hell, most people would choose heaven as the place they would prefer to spend eternity in. For those who choose the other place, I would say they are either short on the Bible and long on not understanding. Some think that they will be given a free and easy pass. Some say the Lord would not send me to hell, and they are partially right. God does not send us to hell. We send ourselves. God allows us, the Bible tells us in James 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, God desires that all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are many who are biblically starved, not because there are not enough Bibles, but instead it's because many are not hearing the Bible. They have turned away from the Word of God, chosen to cast their cares and not to understand the Bible. Therefore, they may not get to heaven. Of all the steps to Christ, I believe the one that puts us in Christ is baptism. Not the other four steps, but they're part of it, but they're not as important as baptism. This happens to be the final step, and it's the one that puts us into Christ. So let us look at baptism and the Bible. That's my subtitle, Baptism and the Bible. Who should be baptized? Many think that baptism is simply a matter of going in the water and coming up out of the water. But water by itself is just water. Instead, it is the blood of Christ that comes together with the water. Baptism is not meant to be a bath. Instead, it's when the blood meets the water. It is for the remission of sin. But one must be taught. One must believe. One must turn away from sin. And one must confess the Lord to be the Son of God. Note in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41 what took place. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized that same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a joyous day that must have been for the preachers. And note, they also were added after they heard the word. They were added after they heard the word, after they believed the word. Belief comes before baptism. Do you remember in the 8th chapter of Acts between the verses of 35 and 38 where Philip met the eunuch? He first preached to him. In verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believe with all thine heart, thou may be baptized." The eunuch heard, he believed, he confessed, and he was baptized. For this very reason, we do not baptize infants. And I know everybody wants their children to be saved, want their children to be baptized, but we do not advocate baptizing infants because an infant is not old enough to believe, nor one who has not heard the gospel. One cannot believe if he or she has never been taught, and if they haven't heard the gospel, how can they believe? So the next question is, when should one be baptized? If we are to follow and teach the word of God, we must listen when it speaks. I believe one should not only hear the word, but also know about the church as well. The church of Christ has nothing to hide. Our head is Jesus Christ. Our headquarters are in heaven. Our rules and regulations are God's word, the Bible, which teaches us who the builder is, how the builder came to build it, and who gives him the builder authority, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through about verse number 19. So when one decides they are ready to be baptized, the question is, when should they be? Again, in the book of Acts, look at Acts 2 and verse number 41. Acts 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says, Acts 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. It gives us the question, the answer to the question. It says they were baptized that same day. And then when you go over in the book of Acts a little farther into Acts chapter 16, after Paul and Silas spoken to the Philippian jailers, he and his household, he took them that same hour that night and washed their stripes. In other words, they were baptized. And straight away the jailer and all his household. Once someone has heard, believed, and confessed, they should be baptized straightway. Some religions like to wait for the fourth or the fifth Sunday. But there's no guarantee that there will be a fourth or a fifth Sunday for us. So we've got to get on board with it as straight away, as soon as possible. When one comes forward, they should be prepared for baptism. As Paul was addressing some of those Jews back in his time, he posed a question to them in Acts 22 and 16. He said, why tarry thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So I pose the question also this day, why and what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And I know what some may say. Some may say the water is too cold and I might catch a cold. Some may say my hair won't look right after it gets wet. Some may say my friends won't like me anymore. Well, cold water is better than the hot fires of hell. As far as friends, the book of Proverbs teaches us in 18 and 24, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Which one would you rather have? Which friend would you rather have? A friend that sticks closer than a brother or a fair weather friend? One who no longer cares about you because you have chosen baptism over burning. How should one be baptized? There's but one way to be baptized. When it comes to becoming a child of God, and that is in water. The same way Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight away out of the water. In verse 17, God in a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When it comes to baptizing and pleasing God, the Bible gives only one way. That is to go down into the water and come up out of the water. Even in the familiar Bible story of the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, around verses 38 through 39, this man was about to become a brand new child of God. He realized that water was called for. So in verse 36, he said, here is water. Why can't I be baptized? Then he and Philip both went down into the water where Philip baptized them. There's no Bible scripture that I'm aware of that calls for sprinkling, as some do. When it comes to pleasing God, we must do as the Bible said and the way it says. In order to please God, we've got to do it God's way. What would it look like if you wrote some directions to putting together something, and then people say, well, I'm not going to follow the directions. And then they can't get it put together, and they blame you, the maker, for it. Well, that's the same way with the Bible. The Bible must be followed and adhered to. When it comes to religion, one must go to the Word of God And certainly the Bible tells us how we may get in Christ, and baptism is one of those steps. Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. If there were ever anyone who never needed to be baptized, that was Jesus. But in that third chapter of Matthew, starting around verse number 13 and ending in verse 17, it tells how that Jesus came to John to be baptized, and how that it pleased God that he was baptized. So when it comes to the blood of Christ, so should we. We must be washed with it, with the blood of Christ, and that is found in the water. When we choose to be baptized, no other way but the biblical way will do. We are to be washed in the blood for the remission of our sins. Every other way will leave us short. We must be immersed in water. No sprinkling, no pouring, nothing but the Bible way. And when you go back to the text once again, look at it, what it says. It says in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, it says, well, verse number 19. Well, 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. But verse number 19, here's the instruction. We've got our marching instructions right here. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. God has given the instructions on what we need to do, and no other way will do. We can't say, well, I've got a shortcut to being baptized. Then what's the need of the pool to be here if we're going to take shortcuts? What's the need of the Word of God if we're going to take shortcuts? We're not following the Word of God when we take shortcuts. God has no short way of getting us baptized and getting into Christ, but through baptism. When you think about it, baptism is not really that hard. Brother Jackson, is it hard? No, it isn't. There's no other way to do it but the right way, and that's to be immersed in the water. And when you're immersed in the water, don't ask me how. I don't know the reaction, but all I know is that the blood is mixed with the water, and you contact the blood in the water, not out of the water, but in the water. And when you go in the water, your sins are washed away, and you become a new creature in the Lord. Now, some might say, well, I got baptized when I was a child. But what was your baptism all about? Did you know what you were doing? Or did you do it because somebody told you to do it? Or did you do it because you thought that was the cool thing to do? That's not the reason to be baptized. Grandma would love to see you get baptized, but don't let your decision hinge on grandma. Your mother might say it'd be good if you get baptized, but don't let that be an influencing factor. Let the Word of God influence you to be baptized, and you must know the reason that you're being baptized. You're not baptized to get wet. You're baptized for the remission of your sin, yet you be washed with the blood of Christ. So I say to you this morning, if you have not been down in the watery grave of baptism, you're not listening to the scriptures. And the scripture says again, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. God had this all planned out long before we got here. And therefore, we can't change the Word of God, because God knew what he wanted to say, when he said it, how he said it, and when and why he said it. So with that, We must learn to accept the word of God in following our religious beliefs. The name of this church is the Stony Island Church of Christ, or ABC Church of Christ if it's some other location. But it's always the Church of Christ. And if you're not going to follow the rules of the Church of Christ, then why come to the Church of Christ? And if you are not going to hear the word of God, why come to the Church of Christ? And if you're not willing to be baptized as the word of God teaches us, then why come to the Church of Christ? We've got to learn to obey the word of God. We've got to learn to accept the word of God. You know, and it's not always the way we want it to be. If it was the way we want it to be, everything would be set up a little different. You know what I'm saying? It would be set up the way we wanted it set up. But how many of us in here have a heaven or a hell to send us to? No show of hands. How many of us can judge us in the end to give us a place called heaven or a place called hell? No show of hands. And how many in here have the power that God, the power of Jesus Christ that God gave him? I think not. So when you look at it, the Bible is the only way to go. And you know something? I used to thought that the Bible was difficult. I couldn't understand the these and the thous, but you know something? They've got interpretive versions of the Bible now that you can understand a little bit better. As long as the meaning hasn't been of the scripture hasn't been changed, an interpretive version of the Bible is a good thing. If it'll make you open it up and read. Now I know that big Bible on your coffee table at home is probably the King James Version. And that's the one that you might have a little difficulty in reading. But I'll tell you something. Once you open it and start reading, it's kind of difficult to stop reading, because it gives you the way of a man's life from his birth to his death. It gives you the way of life that a man should follow all the days of his life. And I'll tell you something about the word of God in the Bible. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It teaches us where we've been, where we're going, and how to get there. Now, no book written by man can send us anywhere. Man can write a book about space exploration and tell us about going to the moon. But if God doesn't want him to get there, trust me, he won't get there. Now, I don't know what's on the moon. I don't know what's on the planets. All I know that they're God's creation. God made the stars, he made the moon, he made the earth, he made the sun. He made them all to do what they do in their right time. That's why the moon and the sun don't step on each other's toes. The moon shines at night, the sun shines in the daytime. And they never cross paths. They both may be out at the same time, but the moon won't ever be shining in the daytime. God knows what he's doing. And if he knows every hair on my head and every hair on your head, think how wonderful he must be. Think how good God is. And you know something? You see me every Sunday morning when I take a drink out of that water cup. That's to help my throat. That water that God gave us to drink, man puts it in a bottle, but man doesn't make water. There's no new water, new way of making water found yet. The water that's in that bottle, I believe sometimes is the same water that comes out of your faucet. But it's just, they just put it in a bottle and tell you this is better for you. It's cold and it's crisp. But I think it's the same water. But now don't get me wrong, I drink it. I drink it for convenience sake. Because I just as well go to faucet on the sink and get me a glass and put me some ice in it and put the water over it, and it tastes the same to me. But that's me. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this one thing. If you want to be a part of Christ, you got to follow the Bible. You got to be in the Bible to know the Bible. And if you know the Bible, then you'll be in the Bible. And if you're in the Bible, you're in a good thing. So what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm simply saying this. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. That's the only way in to Christ, is through baptism. And if you've done that long time ago, I used to talk to my grandmother all the time. Most of you who have been here any number of years know how much I used to care about my grandmother, how I used to go see her down in the South all the time. My grandmother was in her 80s, and she was talking to me about getting baptized. She knew that the baptism that she had wasn't the right kind, and I would imagine when she got baptized, they went to a creek somewhere down in the woods in the country, and they baptized them in that. But she wanted to know about getting baptized the right way. And I connected her with the church down there, and the results, well, I'm not going to tell you the results. But nevertheless, what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. If you want to do it the right way, do it the biblical way. There's no other way. Baptism and the Bible, they speak, they come together. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, as I said, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. If you are already, but you walked astray and you want to come back into the straight and narrow, come forward as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 36.